Spring into deals for seasonal savings. Shop select 1-pint annuals for just $1. Plus, get a free additional Cobalt 40-volt 2-amp-hour battery when you buy select Cobalt 40-volt trimmer and blower combo kit. Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid to 5/6. Annuals offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on Silver Drive in Columbus.
Midnight has passed, and in the stillness of these hours, the hauntings are never silent. This is Real Ghost Stories Online. After midnight.
When they moved into the house, nothing about it stood out in a way that would have made anyone hesitate. It wasn't old enough to feel historic, and it wasn't new enough to feel temporary. It sat in a quiet neighborhood where the houses all looked like they had gone up within a few years of each other, the kind of place where people waved from driveways and left porch lights on longer than necessary. The yard was small but manageable, and the layout made sense. The kids could have their own rooms, and there was just enough space that it felt like a step forward from where they had been before. For the first few weeks, life settled the way it usually does after a move. Boxes disappeared one at a time. The kids figured out which rooms got the best light in the afternoon. Mornings became predictable again, and evenings followed a routine that felt familiar enough to be comforting. Nothing about the house demanded attention. It allowed itself to be lived in. His wife began leaving certain lights on, even during the day. Not all of them, just one or two, always in the same areas. At first, it seemed like distraction. Moving through the house, forgetting to switch things off, it wasn't something worth mentioning, but it kept happening. And it kept happening in the same places. The hallway light near the back bedroom stayed on more often than it didn't. A small lamp in the living room, tucked into the corner near the wall, was almost never turned off completely. Even when he made a point to switch it off before bed, it would be glowing again by morning. When he asked about it, she dismissed it without much thought, as if it were nothing more than a habit she hadn't noticed. It wasn't just the lights. There was a door at the end of the hallway that led into a small storage room. The space itself was unremarkable, filled with things that didn't have a proper place. Boxes, cleaning supplies, extra blankets. It wasn't a room anyone spent time in. But she closed that door every night. It wasn't done in a way that drew attention. She would pass by at some point in the evening and make sure it was shut. If one of the kids left it open, she would quietly fix it. If he left it open while grabbing something, it would not stay that way long. It became one of those small routines that blended into everything else. People have preferences. It didn't have to mean anything. At least, that was how he chose to see it. The first time he tried recording anything, it had nothing to do with the house itself. It came out of boredom more than anything else. His wife was at work, the kids were at school, and the house felt unusually still in the middle of the day. He had been flipping through television channels, barely paying attention, when a ghost hunting show caught his interest just long enough to plant the idea. It didn't feel serious. It felt like something to pass the time. He used the voice recorder on his phone, set it on the kitchen table, and let the room sit in silence for a few seconds before saying anything. The quiet felt heavier than expected, but not in a way he could explain. He asked a few questions, waited between them, and then stopped the recording. It felt pointless by the time he finished, and he didn't expect anything to come from it. That was what made the playback unsettling, and at first everything sounded the way it should have, his voice, the faint hum of the house, nothing out of place. But as he listened more carefully, there were small details that hadn't been there before. A low, uneven sound beneath the audio. Something that didn't match what he remembered hearing in the moment. When he reached the point where he had asked for a name, there was something else. Not a clear voice, not something that could be easily understood, but something shaped enough like speech that it didn't feel random. It sat in the space after his question in a way that made it difficult to ignore. He replayed that section more times than he intended to. Eventually, he set the phone down and told himself it didn't matter. Background noise, interference, something explainable if he wanted to spend the time figuring it out. By the time his wife got home, he had already decided he wasn't going to mention it. That decision didn't last long. He brought it up casually, expecting it to be nothing more than a passing conversation. Instead, her reaction shifted the tone in a way he didn't expect. She didn't ask to hear the recording. She didn't show curiosity. If anything, there was a quiet resistance to the idea that he had even tried it. She made it clear, without needing to explain why, that she didn't want him continuing with it. There was no argument, but there was a line drawn. It didn't come across as fear in the way he would have expected. It felt more controlled than that, more deliberate. As if she wasn't reacting to what he had found, but to the fact that he had gone looking at all. He didn't press her on it. At the time, it seemed easier to let it go than to turn it into something bigger than it needed to be. That night, after the house had gone quiet and the kids were asleep, he noticed the hallway light was on again. The storage room door at the end of the hall was closed, the same as it always was at that time of night. He stood there longer than he meant to, looking at it. There was nothing about the door that felt unusual, nothing about the hallway that suggested anything had changed. Still, he walked down and opened it, more out of habit than intention. The room inside was exactly the same as it had been earlier in the day. He left the door open when he walked away. Sometime after midnight, he woke without knowing what had disturbed him. The house was completely quiet. For a few seconds, he stayed still, listening, trying to decide if there had been a sound or if he had simply come out of sleep too quickly. That was when he noticed the light. A faint glow stretched across the floor from the hallway, visible beneath the bedroom door. It took a moment for it to register and another moment for him to realize why it stood out. When he stepped into the hallway, everything looked the same as it always did. The light was on. And at the end of the hall, the storage room door was closed again. He didn't mention the door the next morning. It would have been easy to bring up in passing, something small enough to dismiss before it turned into anything else. But by the time the house filled with the usual routine, getting the kids ready, moving through the kitchen, stepping around each other in familiar patterns, it already felt out of place. Whatever had happened during the night seemed separate from the rest of the house, like it belonged to a different version of it. By the time everyone left for the day, everything looked normal again. The hallway light was off, the storage room door was closed, and there was nothing about it that suggested it had been opened at all. For a few days, he left it alone. The house slipped back into its rhythm without resistance. His wife moved through it the same way she always had, keeping certain lights on without explanation and closing the storage room door whenever it had been left open. It was the same behavior, but now it stood out in a way it hadn't before. There was a consistency to it that felt more deliberate than accidental. The recording stayed in the back of his mind longer than he expected. He told himself it hadn't been anything, that he had probably heard what he expected to hear, but the memory didn't fade the way it should have. It lingered just enough to keep pulling his attention back to it. A few days later, when he found himself alone again, the quiet felt more noticeable than before. Not heavier, just more present. He didn't plan on recording again, but the thought was already there, and it didn't take much for it to turn into action. He used the same spot in the kitchen, set his phone down, and let the room settle before saying anything. This time, the questions were fewer and spaced further apart. When he stopped the recording, nothing about it felt different. Listening back told a different story. The beginning was exactly what he expected. His voice, the faint, mechanical hum of the house, nothing unusual. But toward the end, something began to rise beneath the audio. It wasn't sudden or sharp, just a low, uneven sound that didn't match anything he remembered hearing in the moment. The longer he listened, the more it felt structured, not quite forming words, but not entirely random either. It was enough to keep him from dismissing it. He didn't bring this one up either. By then, he already understood that it wouldn't lead anywhere. His wife had made that clear without needing to explain it, and the more he thought about her reaction, the less it felt like simple superstition. There had been something specific in the way she responded, something controlled, as if she wasn't reacting to what he had done, but to what it might lead to. That realization didn't stop him from mentioning it when his brother-in-law came over. The visit started the way most of them did, sitting in the living room with the television on in the background, talking about nothing important. At some point, the conversation shifted, and he brought up the recordings in a way that made them sound less serious than they actually felt. Curiosity did the rest. With someone else there, it was easier to justify trying again. The phone was already nearby, and it didn't take long before it was recording. This time, the questions came faster, more direct, and the tone shifted without either of them needing to acknowledge it. At one point, his brother-in-law pushed it further than before, speaking in a way that felt less like asking and more like provoking. The shift in the room was immediate. Nothing moved, nothing changed visually, but the atmosphere tightened in a way that was hard to ignore. For the first time, the hesitation felt real. He told him to stop, not forcefully, but enough to break the rhythm. The suggestion lingered, but the recording continued a little longer before they finally ended it. When they played it back, the beginning followed the same pattern as before. Familiar enough that it almost felt reassuring. That didn't last. The first voice didn't belong to either of them. It came through low and strained, not loud, but clear enough that there was no question it was there. They replayed that section more than once, each time hearing it more distinctly, each time feeling less certain about how to explain it. Further in, there was another sound, brief and completely out of place in comparison. It appeared and disappeared quickly, but it was enough to shift the tone of everything that followed. Near the end, the audio changed again. A second voice moved through it unevenly, distorted in a way that made it difficult to follow. It didn't form anything recognizable, but it didn't feel accidental either. Beneath it, there was a faint, repetitive tone that hadn't been there at the beginning, something that almost resembled music, but never fully settled into anything familiar. By the time the recording ended, the room felt different. Nothing had moved. Nothing had changed in any visible way, but the silence that followed felt occupied in a way it hadn't before. When his wife came home later that night, she noticed it immediately. He hadn't said anything yet, but she paused when she stepped inside, her attention shifting without direction. There was no curiosity in her reaction, just a quiet recognition that something had changed. And when he told her, she didn't ask to hear the recording, she didn't want details. Her response came quickly and without room for discussion. She made it clear that it needed to stop, not as a suggestion, but as a boundary that had already been crossed. There was something more urgent in it now, and it wasn't directed at the recordings themselves. It was directed at the fact that he had continued. Whatever she believed was happening, she believed it was getting worse. So that night, long after everything had settled, he found himself standing in the hallway again, without remembering how he had ended up there. The light was on, casting the same soft glow it always did, and the storage room door at the end of the hall was closed. He didn't remember seeing her close it. He didn't remember hearing anything at all. For a moment, he considered opening it again, the same way he had before. This time, he didn't. He stood there instead, listening to the stillness of the house, aware of something he hadn't been able to define before. The quiet no longer felt empty. He didn't plan on asking her directly. Up until that point, everything between them had stayed just beneath the surface. She had drawn her lines without explaining them, and he had crossed them without fully understanding why they were there in the first place. It had settled into something unspoken, a quiet tension that followed them through the house without ever turning into a real conversation. But after the second recording, that balance didn't hold the same way. It wasn't just curiosity anymore. It was the feeling that he had already stepped into something he didn't understand, and the only person who might was the one who refused to talk about it. He waited until the house was quiet. The kids were in their rooms, the television off, the usual background noise gone. She was in the kitchen moving through the last part of her routine, the same way she did every night. There was nothing unusual about it, nothing that suggested anything had changed. That made it harder to ignore. He asked her about the house, not the recordings, not directly, just the house itself. The way she had been acting since they moved in, the lights, the door, the way she seemed to notice things before they happened. He didn't push it all at once. He let it come out slowly, as if giving her room to dismiss it if she wanted to. She didn't. For a few seconds, she didn't say anything at all. She just stood there, one hand resting against the counter, as if deciding how much of an answer she was willing to give. When she finally responded, it wasn't immediate, and it wasn't complete. She told him she had noticed it early. Not the recordings, not anything he had done, just the house. the way certain rooms felt different at different times of the day. The way the back hallway never quite felt the same as the rest of the house, especially at night. She said it wasn't constant. It didn't move around or make itself obvious. It stayed in specific places, and it stayed quiet unless something drew attention to it. That was as far as she wanted to go. He asked her why she hadn't said anything before. She didn't answer that right away. When she did, it came out more carefully, as if she had already thought about it more than once and had chosen her reasoning a long time ago. She told him that nothing had been happening, not in a way that affected them, not in a way that demanded a response. It had just been there, and leaving it alone had been enough. Then he asked her about the recordings. That was where the conversation changed. She didn't ask what he had heard. She didn't need to. The shift in her expression made it clear that the details didn't matter as much as the fact that he had kept going. She told him that acknowledging something like that, even in a small way, changed how it behaved. Not immediately, not in a way you could point to, but enough that it stopped staying quiet. He asked her how she knew that. She hesitated before answering, and when she did, it was the closest she had come to saying more than she intended. She told him she had heard something before he ever started recording. Not clearly, not enough to understand, but enough to recognize that there was something in the house that didn't belong to them. She said it had happened late at night in that same part of the house and that it had stopped on its own. She had never followed it, never responded to it, and eventually it had faded into something she could ignore. Until he started asking questions. There was no accusation in the way she said it, but there was a certainty that made it difficult to dismiss. She believed that whatever had been quiet before was no longer being left alone. He didn't argue with her. He couldn't. Not in a way that made sense, and instead, he asked her one more thing. Why the door? That took longer to answer than anything else. She didn't look at him when she did. She kept her attention on the counter, her voice steady in a way that felt practiced rather than uncertain. She said that closing it made it easier to ignore. That if she couldn't see into that room, if she didn't give herself a reason to think about it, then whatever was there stayed where it was. Contained wasn't the word she used, but it was close enough. That was the point where the conversation ended. Not because everything had been said, but because neither of them needed to push it any further. There was no clear explanation, no resolution that tied everything together. In a way that made it easier to understand, there was only a shift in how they saw the house and an understanding that they were no longer looking at it the same way. After that, he stopped recording, not because he was told to, but because he no longer felt the need to test it. The curiosity that had driven him at the beginning had been replaced by something else, something quieter and more cautious. The house didn't change in any dramatic way. There were no sudden events, no moments that forced them to react. It settled. Or maybe they did. The lights stayed on in the same places. The storage room doors stayed closed at night. The hallway never quite felt the same as the rest of the house, but it didn't become something they had to confront. It became something they worked around the same way you adjust to anything that doesn't fit but also doesn't leave. They lived with it. Eventually, they moved out. Not because of the house, not because of anything that happened inside it. Life shifted in the way it always does, and they left for reasons that made sense on paper. Financial decisions, better opportunities, things that had nothing to do with anything they had experienced there. They didn't talk about the house much after that. It came up occasionally in small ways, but never as a full conversation. There was no need to revisit it, no reason to pick it apart now that they were no longer inside it. Whatever had been there stayed there, and whatever they had understood about it didn't need to be explained beyond what it had been. The only thing that lingered was the understanding they had reached without fully saying it out loud. Some things don't need to be proven to be real. And some things are better left alone once you realize they've been there the entire time.
Want more real ghost stories? Then press subscribe now so you don't miss any of the multiple new ghost stories we drop for you every day. Only here at Real Ghost Stories Online.